CBS News, I'm Dan Scanlon. Bertrand Piccard and Brian Jones made aviation history shortly before 5 this morning Eastern Standard Time, and their hot air balloon flight team in Geneva broke out the bubbly.
There was a massive cheer that went up, and Alan Noble, who's the flight director, he opened the bottles of champagne. Everybody was taking a swig from them. There was really a great deal of euphoria, and of course, it just mounted when we actually heard from the two balloonists themselves in a live link-up a few minutes afterwards.
That's reporter Claire Doole, who was at the party as the balloon team crossed over Mauritania in northwest Africa and that invisible line completing their trip. Aboard the hot air balloon, pilot Bertrand Piccard said if it looked easy, it wasn't.
Sometimes we were a little down, sometimes it was difficult, but we made 20 days of flying with wind, with no engine, and this gives an incredible impression.
With the first round-the-world flight to their unique credits, the balloonists continue to set records for distance. They don't expect to land the balloon until tomorrow in the sands of Egypt. Right now, they are over Algeria. Well, there's no prize for second best, but two men who tried to be first to circle the globe in a hot air balloon congratulated Jones and Piccard. American millionaire Steve Fawcett says the two had won one of the great competitions in aviation history, and British adventurer Richard Branson called the flight magnificent. Never one to run out of ideas, Branson is now talking about a hot air balloon race around the world. When you're ready for a strike and it doesn't happen... Flight attendants getting first word of a contract settlement with America West, the nation's ninth largest airline. 2,400 flight attendants had threatened a walkout, but they and the carrier came to terms with the help of federal mediators in the nation's capital. Details of that agreement expected later today, followed by a rank-and-file ratification vote. The last of the international peacekeepers has left Kosovo as violence between Albanian rebels and Yugoslav-led Serbs increases. In Pristina, BBC reporter Jackie Rowland says the Yugoslav leader will play brinksmanship with NATO's threat of airstrikes.
President Milosevic is not one to reveal his hand before the very last moment. And if indeed the reports are right that the United States is planning to give him another week, I think we can't really expect to see anything from him in the way of a move in his position until really the very end of that week.
Hundreds of Iraqi pilgrims left Saudi Arabia today, spurning that country's offer of food and shelter for their annual pilgrimage to Mecca. The Iraqis had demanded frozen Iraqi funds that the UN had promised to release for the religious pilgrimage, but the money wasn't released because Saddam Hussein's government demanded it be deposited in Iraq's national bank. A frantic Bridgeport, Connecticut mother has her 6-year-old boy back safe and sound after a carjacker drove off with him in the woman's minivan. The boy was found 20 minutes later in Stratford, Connecticut by police unharmed. This is CBS News.
We're Omnex Universal. We're a bank. A bank that merged with another bank, that bought an insurance company, that was acquired by an industrial adhesive producer, that took over a consumer durables manufacturing conglomerate. So take comfort in knowing that you bank with the people who built your car shock absorbers and who manage your local waste disposal service and who made your child's pajamas. Because at Omnex Universal, we don't want to control the world, just you.
Banks may be getting bigger, but that doesn't mean they're getting better. At City National Bank, we believe the best way to make our business grow is to help your business grow. You see, we don't think it's enough just to buy customers. You have to earn them. That's why so many Southern California businesses depend on City National and our lost art of personal service. Perhaps we can help you. 1-800-281-5656. City National Bank. The way up. Member FDIC.
Wyoming Game and Fish Department will soon be allowed to kill grizzly bears that prey on livestock in the upper Green River Valley. The Game and Fish Department is drafting policy on dealing with problem grizzlies. The action is the result of a meeting convened by representatives for Senator Craig Thomas last month. The trench coat robber will soon be wearing prison orange. Ray Bowman has drawn 24 years behind bars for taking part in the biggest bank robbery in American history. Bowman and an accomplice hit a bank in Washington State in February of 1997, walking out with nearly $4.5 million. Prosecutors say in a 30-year bank robbery career, Bowman and his cohort pulled off nearly 30 heists and usually wore trench coats. For those who worry about the Y2K bug, consider this. If you're on the Jewish calendar, you're saying to yourself, what Y2K problem? The year 2000 began in 1761 BC. Better yet, get a Mayan calendar, but then worry about Y5K, because a calendar expert says the Mayans believe the world will be flooded then. Dan Scanlon, CBS News.
Good morning. Today, I want to talk with you about the next important steps we can take to rid our streets of gun violence and to make our communities even safer for our families. I'm proud to be joined today in the Oval Office by Attorney General Janet Reno, Treasury Undersecretary Jim Johnson, ATF Director John McGaugh, Mayor Kurt Schmoke of Baltimore, Police Chief Jerry Oliver of Richmond, and Chief Robert Olson of Minneapolis, Congressman Anthony Weiner, as well as four of our United States attorney who are leading this fight across America. Over the last 6 years, we've worked hard to fight crime, putting in place a strategy of more prevention, stricter enforcement, tougher punishment. We funded more than 92,000 police officers for 11,000 communities, taken more criminals and deadly assault weapons off the street, and with Brady background checks, stopped more than 250,000 handguns from falling into the hands of convicted felons and other prohibited persons. As a result, the crime rate has dropped by more than 20% to the lowest level in a generation. Gun crimes have declined by more than 25%. Gun murders have fallen by a third. Slowly but surely, neighborhoods once abandoned at the crack of gunfire and the wail of ambulance sirens are coming alive with the sounds of children playing freely in the streets. This is indeed encouraging news, but we must do more. In 1997, 14,000 people were murdered by guns. While the numbers are declining, any child caught in the crossfire of a gang shootout, or a police officer struck down by a criminal's bullet, or a store clerk murdered in a robbery is one tragedy too many. That is why today I'm directing Treasury Secretary Robert Rubin and Attorney General Reno to use every available tool to increase the prosecution of gun criminals and shut down illegal gun markets. I'm asking them to work closely with local, state, and federal law enforcement officials and to report back to me with a plan to reduce gun violence by applying proven local strategies to fight gun crime nationwide. Look at what federal prosecutors and the ATF are doing in Richmond, Virginia, in an effort they call Project Exile. Under the leadership of U.S. Attorney Helen Fahey, Project Exile has used the threat of tough federal statutes, statutes that require stiff sentences and deny bail to offenders, to reduce gun crime and take serious gun criminals off the street. And gun murders are down in Richmond by a remarkable 41%. My balanced budget will help to hire more federal prosecutors and ATF agents so we can crack down on even more gun criminals and illegal gun trafficking all across America. After 6 years of hard work, America is winning the war against crime, but we're a long way from declaring victory. We must keep even more guns from falling into the wrong hands by requiring background checks at gun shows and banning violent juvenile offenders from owning guns for life. And I ask you to support our 21st Century Policing Initiative to give law enforcement the manpower, the high-tech tools, and the prevention strategies they need to keep us safe. Unfortunately, the Republicans in Congress have proposed a budget that would dramatically cut back our investment in community policing just when we're trying to increase it. That would be a big mistake. We must move forward in our fight for safer streets and safer families. Over the years, the proliferation of guns in our streets, of criminals packing pistols instead of switchblades, have made crime deadlier than ever. Guns have magnified the malevolence of crime. That is why disarming criminals has been and must continue to be a top crime-fighting priority. Let none of us rest until every American is safe from gun violence. Thanks for listening.